San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, September 29, 2024. Today's lesson is I Can See Clearly Now with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur.
Good morning. Again, beautiful music, Fearless Soul Through My Eyes. And as we're talking about seeing clearly, I can see clearly now. If we can see the image of ourself through God's eyes, we would be amazed at how whole and worthy and beautiful we are. So let us anchor ourselves in. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So this is September, and we are concluding our month. Our theme for the month has been focus, and we've been focusing on where we place our attention. So we've been focusing on where we focus, which I think is a cool thing. New Thought, which is our teaching, Reverend Pat Beach says, New Thought teaches us to affirm truth as a way to focus our attention on God. We want to see the good in others, see the presence of the divine in everything. And I'd like to take a moment to remember what is being called catastrophic damage and loss of life through Hurricane Helene. Our hearts and our prayers are with all of those who are impacted. I have family members who are impacted. My son is in Florida. His family is doing well. They are okay. My brother is in North Carolina, in the Appalachians. I guess you call him the Southern Appalachians. He's not like way high up there, but he's in the hills. And he's in one of those areas. His town is one where they told everyone to evacuate and head to higher ground. Well, the good news is where he lives is the higher ground. But still, he has no utilities, no power, no water, no internet, but lots of food and lots of bottled water. So he's okay. My family is blessed to be okay through this. I want to give you a quote from Robert Ingersoll, and I truly believe this. I truly, truly believe this. In nature, there are neither rewards nor punishments. There are consequences. Now, I don't want you to think of that as being heartless, because it is not heartlessness. It is awareness. There is no blame here. We can't blame weather. We can't blame people for building their homes in a beautiful part of the country that gets hit by hurricanes. There is no blame. There are consequences. In California, the consequences of living here in a place that has earthquakes is we get earthquakes. The consequences of building our house without a strong foundation on the side of a hill is our house slides down the hill. When the dirt gets filled with water and it just slides down, the house becomes part of the mudslide. It doesn't mean anybody did something bad. There is no judgment. There is no, I'm going to punish Florida for the way the people think or feel. There is no, I'm going to punish North Carolina because they are Bible thumpers. My brother lives there. He's not a Bible thumper. But it makes no sense to say that the climate, the weather, is a punishment from God, because that is impossible. If there were no people living there at all, in fact, think back 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, the weather, the climate was, you know, taking a beating on the earth. There were floods, there was rainfall, there were hurricanes, there were tornadoes, there were earthquakes, there were avalanches. There just weren't any people around to point the finger at God to blame. It just is weather. It just is nature. And we need to see that clearly and take away all of the fears or worries. Just be prepared. Be ready. My brother, knowing the weather, I mean, he's almost as old as I am. So he does prep work because he's not a fool. He knows if the power goes out during a horrible rainstorm, I need to have water, because all that power going out means your water faucets are not going to work. Your toilets are not going to work. Things that have physical capability can be compromised, and that's okay. We just want to be aware. We want to see clearly the potential consequences so that we can be prepared for them. We want to be clear-eyed. We want to be discerning. We want to see clearly. And when we see clearly, it's I can see clearly now. To see clearly means to see in a way that it's easy to see, hear, read, or understand what's happening. See. There's a mathematical equivalency. There's the equal sign, and then there's a mathematical equivalency symbol, which is three straight lines. So if you say A equals B, cool. That means that A is going to equal whatever B represents. If you have A, line, 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 A, it says A is absolutely equal to A, no exceptions. It's the equivalency, not the equal. So C is the equivalent of understand. We can see how parts fit together. We can understand how parts fit together. Things that help us see are corrective lenses, magnification, readers, discernment. And the only thing that changes when we're seeing all these things is our focal point, our focus. The focal point is the point at which all elements or aspects converge. It's the center of activity, the center of attention. For example, the focal point of our conversation here is to discuss seeing clearly. That's our focal point. That's our hedgehog. You can have a focal point that that helps you to focus. Focus and focal point are the same thing in the dictionary. Now we know that they're not exactly the same. They're not an exact equivalent, because you can focus on something that is broad and your focal point will be narrowed down to the thing that you're looking at. So focal point is centering. It's the direction. It's our focusing. It's focusing particularism. A focal point in art can be an area of a picture that attracts your eye. We have a photographer here. She knows all about focal points. I'll bet she even knows, how to narrow the focus to a specific object such that the things that she is not focused on, the things that are closer or in a distance, get a fuzzy blur. You know how to do that, don't you? Yes. Yes. So she's helping, her camera is helping her to guide the viewer to focus where she wants them to focus, to give them the focal point that was hers. The focal point is your center of interest. It can be made with architectural lighting. In a large room, you can have certain areas lit or backlit or darkened to control or encourage where people look. Now, you can't truly control it. Somebody walks in, they're going to see the architectural light and they're going to see what you want them to see, and they can just as easily turn around and say, oh, and look, over here in the corner, there's boxes of stuff that she didn't want me to notice. Excuse me. A fireplace is a common focal point in decorating. A pool is a common focal point when selling a house. When we're doing sentence structure and language, the verb is the focal point of the sentence, not the subject. The subject is the observer. The verb is the action being taken. So the action being taken is the focal point of a sentence. We can help ourselves to see more clearly with spiritual discernment. So when we are looking to see things, we can see them physically, and then we can turn our spiritual discernment on and see the reality behind the image. We can see different aspects of our life, but are we seeing them clearly? Are we blaming somebody else for our experience? Are we, as in Fearless Soul's song, Through My Eyes, are we looking in the mirror and seeing less than? Or are we using our discernment and looking in the mirror and seeing beauty? Nietzsche said, if you think someone has ruined your life, you're right. It's you. If you think someone has ruined your life, you're right. It's you. Because nobody can ruin what goes on inside of us except us. When we buy into somebody else's opinion instead of seeing who we truly are. And it's easy to be distracted by the thoughts and the beliefs and the actions of others. We, as a collective, tend to see what we want to see. We tend to see what we want to see. By the way, that's normal. It takes discipline to be able to see the truth. So we can ask ourselves, what is the truth? What is the truth? And today we're going to adjust our focus. We're going to explore the possibility that what we see with our own eyes may not be the truth. Darn it all. The truth is indivisible and whole. God is complete and perfect. A perfect cause must produce a perfect effect. And so this morning we're going to align our spiritual vision with spiritual principle. Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So in other words, we tend to look at the outward appearance and we fail to discern the truth which may be hidden behind the surface. Somebody brings in a black box. We wonder what's in that black box. Somebody brings in a package wrapped in colorful paper with a bow. And we look at it and we think, it's a gift. Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe somebody just likes to wrap up their business papers to look like a gift. Earlier this month, I told you a story about little Johnny, the first grader, and the color of apples. And when his teacher asked what color apples were, he said white. And he had the insight, the spiritual insight, to look inside the apples and realize that no matter what color the apple peel was, the inside of all the apples was white. And that was a new perspective to the first graders. There's a Hebrew proverb that says, students are not vessels to be filled, but lamps to be lit. And I want you to remember that, because it's not just students. Everybody we know is not just a vessel to be filled with whatever others want to fill them with. Everyone is a lamp to be lit. And the lesson here is that there's so much more to life than what meets the eye. And we don't want to be fooled by only what we see with our physical eyes. We want to have faith in the invisible essence that makes all things possible. I'm going to share a quote with you by Theodore Gottfried Lessing. And I don't know who he is, but I would guess that he is a philosopher. Because this is what he says. If the Lord God held out to me in his right hand the whole of truth, and in his left hand only the urge to seek the truth, I would reach for his left hand. Why would we want the urge to seek the truth? It's because everything that is known can be known again, can be reinterpreted by someone else, can be lied about, can be changed depending on circumstances. For instance, Hurricane Helene. God was punishing all those people. Well, no. The truth is, God does not punish. And so, if we have the urge to seek the truth, we are, in my opinion, so much better off than somebody who thinks they already know everything there is to know. I know a lot of things. I do not know everything that there is to know. I know what I need to know, and I know how to look things up, and I have an urge within me to seek the truth. And I think that's the same for everybody here. We all have that urge to know the truth, not just to accept whatever pablum we're being fed. This is an election year. This is an election year. So with all the stuff that is being put out, I would like you constantly to ask yourself, am I seeing clearly? Am I allowing my emotions to cloud and obscure facts or histories or records of behavior? Am I looking deeper than a soundbite? If one person says, that person over there is going to do thus and such, is there any evidence for it? Because I can point my finger at my neighbor and say, my neighbor over there, they're a horrible person based on the spelling of their name. I know that anybody who has their name spelled like that person must be a horrible, horrible person. And of course, you all agree with me, right? And the momentum comes up, right? And the brainwashing is taking effect. One of the things that is most concerning to me in an election year is the propositions that are on the ballot. Because the propositions, the things that they put in the ballot, they are intentionally obscure. They don't tell you the text of the proposal. They used to. We used to get the text of the proposal in the stuff that came to the House. We don't get that anymore. Instead, we have this little paragraph that says, oh, this is about, do we want to have a school bond? And so if we have a school bond, then it doesn't cost us anything right now. It's only a $10 billion school bond. And then you read a little bit further and it says, yeah, but it's over 10 years, and with interest and everything, we're going to have to pay back $18 billion. And they don't tell you where they're going to borrow the money. It's like, this $10 billion for bonds is going to magically appear. Well, no, it's going to come out of your taxes. It's going to come out of some general fund. And then you read more in the details, and it's not the school bonds we had before that said, hey, we're going to fix the air conditioning. We're going to, you know, give a real building instead of the little trailers. It's no, all this nebulous stuff about the health and the well-being and all this of the students and attracting new teachers. And it's like, do you know how vague those things are? And this is what you want me to approve of without telling me what you're going to spend the money on. And then the other side says, well, you know, it's going to cost this much, and it's going to all these philosophies that are going to be taught in our schools that not everybody agrees with. And so for me, it comes down to the bottom. I always look, who's supporting these things? What organizations are supporting these things? And then I say, bonds, school bonds. From back when I was a child, listening to my father who said, they have more than enough money. We have voted in school bonds over and over, and they haven't fixed a thing they say they're going to fix. There are no new schools. There are no repairs. There is no new school equipment. There is no new stadium. Just the taxpayer debt. So bonds are easy for me. I go through the motions, I read the entire thing, and then I go, nope, vote no, no bonds. Because in my personal opinion is, if it was necessary, it would be part of the state budget. If it's not in the state budget, it's an add-on. And I don't have a lot of faith in the add-ons that our state has added on over the years. So that's my blurb about the election. I have some guidelines for us this morning, too. Since we're talking about I can see clearly now. And in truth, my perspective on the elections and the bond measures and stuff may not be clear. I may not be seeing clearly. I may be seeing through my emotions on that. If they waste every dollar they've got, why would I give more money for them to waste more money? So that could be my emotion. That could be my bias. But until they give me the entire proposal to read, I choose not to trust them based on previous behavior. They said they were going to do this. They said, yeah, we're doing it, and nothing improved. So our guidelines for today are, do not judge according to appearances. Turn your attention away from the illusion of lack and limitation, and realize that the universe is so much more than what meets the eye. So, are you ready to explore that this morning? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Yay! So please place your hand over your heart and affirm with me. Today.
Today.
I look at life.
With spiritual vision.
I can look through the prism of God's love.
I can see clearly now.
And choose to see only good.
And so it is.
And so breathe. Simply breathe. Remember that the prism, when light hits the prism, it disperses the light into a beautiful rainbow of all colors. It leaves nothing out. And the divine is all things. In the Holy Scriptures, it's written in John chapter 7, verse 24, judge not according to appearances. What that means is that you may not have the whole story when you evaluate or judge someone or something. I've mentioned before, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. Most of us only see what we want to see. And we're told not to judge. And we're clearly reminded not to fall under the illusion of accepting the false for the true. During his ministry, Jesus was confronted by a group of self-righteous complainers who were irritated because he had healed somebody on the Sabbath. The master teacher instructed them, quote, stop judging from the outward appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. He was telling him, don't judge according to appearances, but look beneath the surface so you can correctly evaluate a situation. Jesus was not going to wait until Monday to perform a miracle. He was in the present moment. He was always in the present moment. For those of you who have not read the Bible recently, do not judge a book by its cover. There is some spiritual wisdom within its pages. I would venture to guess that there is some good in every book. And immediately my brain says, yeah, but what about this horrible stuff and that horrible stuff and, you know, quadruple X rated stuff. It's like, well, what good could there possibly be? The pages could all be the same size properly. It could have been well bound. You know, the photos and pictures in there could have beautiful colors. So yeah, there's good in everywhere. But we also get to choose where we place our attention, where we focus. Dr. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And he wrote, "The illusion is in the way we look at things. We have looked at poverty, degradation, and misery until they have assumed gigantic proportions. Now we must look at harmony, happiness, plenty, prosperity, peace, and right action until they appear. They are there. We just need to focus our attention on them. And remember, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Some people may look at the numbers in their bank accounts, at world events, or even their own face in a mirror and see negativity, lack, limitation. But that just brings us back to our opening song, Through My Eyes. The things that we are seeing through our own eyes may simply be optical illusions of our mind. It's all in the way we look at things. Everything is a matter of perspective. Absolutely everything. So if we could see ourselves through the eyes that others truly see us, the loving eyes of the divine, we would be amazed. We would be amazed at how loving and beautiful and kind and generous and gentle and powerful each of us truly is. Don't let anybody tell you any different. And the final guideline is, the physical universe is not what it appears to be. It is not what it seems to be. And on page 375, Dr. Ernest Holmes wrote, science is rapidly proving. Now, he wrote this close to 100 years ago, right? Science is rapidly proving that there is much more in the universe than we can see with the naked eye. We are now being taught that ether is more solid than matter. Now, ether is a scientific term for essence or atmosphere. People used to think that the entire universe is made of ether, and there's all this stuff, planets and asteroids and stars and stuff that float in the ether. Then they came up with, well, no, the universe is void. Well, the void doesn't have sound waves or sound signals. So the concept of the universe being void is being walked back a bit. And they're kind of moving back into, well, it's ether, but we don't know what ether is. Just to let you know. Ernest Holmes wrote, we are now being taught that ether is more solid than matter. We know that ether permeates everything. It is in our bodies, at the center of the earth, and throughout all space. This means it's within our present bodies. Right now, there is a substance more solid than the body which we see. I think ether is energy. That's just my opinion. And since I have the urge to find out the truth, that's where I go doing my research. Is this thing that we used to call ether actually energy? energy.
As human beings, we tend to see what we want to see rather than what is actually there. And too often we're deceived by what we see with our own eyes, and we fail to realize the true meaning of a situation. I have seen a lot of things, and furrowed my brow and scrunched my eyes and thought, what? What on earth is that? And then I have to step back and ask my inner guidance, my inner self, what am I seeing? What am I experiencing? What is there for me to know right here and right now? And what I am physically looking at often changes before my very eyes. It's an interesting experience. I have a little story that I'm going to share with you, and I think I shared this in the last few months, but I'm going to tell you again because it's election season, and the story lends itself well to election season. There's these two men. They grew up together. They're very close friends. They've been best buddies all their lives. And so they grow up. They decide, now we're adults. We're going to build houses next to each other because we're such good friends. So they build their houses, and down the middle between their houses, there's a path. And so one day they're out working in their yards, and this Loki Joker kind of guy decides he's going to play a trick on them. And so he puts on his special coat and he walks up the path. And the guys notice him, and he goes around and he walks up the path again. And the guys notice him again. He does this a couple times during the day. And at the end of the day, these buddies say, wow, you know, didn't that guy have on such a beautiful red coat? What? It was a beautiful coat. Yeah, but it was blue. No, it was red. I saw it was red. No, it was blue. That was a blue coat. I saw it. And they get very angry with each other. They start to argue. They're fighting. They decide that each decides the other is a complete idiot and lying to them. And there's nothing worth saving in this other person. And they break off their friendship. And then the guy, the jokester, comes walking up again, and he turns to his left, and then he turns to his right, and he starts pointing fingers at these guys, laughing at how he has fooled them. He has a beautiful coat, and one side of it is blue, and the other side of it is red. And over such a foolish argument, they decided to end their friendship. But once they realized they had been taken in, they became friends again. However, a little bit of that blind trust in the friendship was sacrificed. Through this election season, you will have friends that are wearing what we could call blue coats, and friends that are wearing what we would call red coats, the two-party system thing. You're also going to have people who are not wearing a coat. You're also going to have friends whose political views may be blue that happen to be wearing a red coat that day. People whose friends who would normally be wearing red happen to wear a blue coat that day. Don't make judgments based on the external trappings of things. You can see clearly now. You can see that your friend can wear whatever coat they want, and that should not impact your friendship. When we look through the eyes of God, we see only God. When we look through the eyes of good,
we see only good. And everyone has their own path. Honor them by honoring that they are following their own path. You can see clearly now. So I thank you for your time, for your attention. Namaste.